Okay. Hello, my name is Geraldine, and I am here in 100 years of copyright. I don't know, I don't think it's weird, but I have no interest in copyright at all. I don't think it's a relevant form of organization of rights. I don't respect it, of course, neither. Like, I give no credit to copyright, which I think is something that it's interesting that, or necessary, that when we talk about copyright, we realize that we all address that copyright is not only a legal object. There is no such thing as just one thing that is legal. It's also social, it's also economic, it's also political. So in a way, I guess I am interested in all the sides of copyright that has nothing to do with their legal, you know, aspect, and mostly piracy. Like, I guess I got invited here to do an installation that you can see downstairs, because I am more interested in all the things that are open and all the possibilities and all the stories and all the relations that happen because of the failure of copyright, which is piracy, and which is a great failure. I mean, I'm not saying that copyright should be a successful model. I think copyright can succeed, and that's why, I mean, enforcing private property, it's like an endless project. You will never be able to control private property completely. It's like an infinite, kind of godly, kind of like a project to think you could control property at all levels. So, say that, I was thinking a little bit how I could talk in the context of this panel that is called Travels, Copy Cultures and Music Travels in the Global Mediascape or something like that. And I was just thinking a lot, and which is also related with the narrative of the installation I did, is like, in fact, I was trying to make with that installation, create this image of the pirate, but not in this kind of super basic image of the patches and the skull and, you know, this kind of kindergarten YouTube copyright infringement image that is out there. But more in the sense that the pirate has been always this image of the enemy. You know, it's like this very special kind of enemy that you cannot put them in jail right away, but he's doing something in between the legal and the illegal, the public and the private, and that it's not necessarily, it cannot be pinned down exactly what crime the pirate is doing, you know? So I'm very interested in this kind of non-stable kind of image of the crime, which makes law very difficult to enforce, because, you know, for enforce law or like apply a certain penalty, you need to say exactly what people did against certain law. And with internet and copy culture in general, sometimes you cannot really, or not sometimes, you can't really make the division where the copy ends and the infringement starts, or where when you are streaming, you are copying some information still in your browser in order to stream. So I'm very interested in how the image of the pirate, the concept of the pirate, complicates a lot of like our relations as a society, which I think is something productive. I don't think it's like, it is complex, but I don't think it's negative at all. I don't see it as negative, especially because I think copyright issues are always kind of understand from this legal standing of property, like reproduction rights, and you know, this way that it's understood by the RIA, or like this kind of collection agencies, that is just this part of the world that understands property in that way, while like a bunch other part of the world and like people, we understand it in another way. So I'm just interested how these collection agencies, for instance, understand everything in terms of money and finitude, you know, while other people is talking about, or like the rest, we talk about more property and, you know, all these more specific kind of practices that they try to protect. And when you talk about copyright, it's also abstract, even though it's certain very specific things are involved, like recording, composing, reproduction, all these kind of super important things for, I don't know, the practice of copy culture, I guess, that in the run of the last century, I guess, and how we move more into this kind of digitized context, we stop talking about those things. We stop talking about, like, okay, what we're actually performing, what we're actually reproducing, what we're actually composing. Are we composing? Are we recomposing and stuff? I think all these kind of things that for me were very interesting before, to understand all these practices that makes a copy, or all the connection to actuality that implies to copy things, got watered down a lot by, you know, just this streaming and just even copying. You don't copy anymore. We lost kind of the practice of copying. So I think in the context of the title of this talk, I'm just very interested in the same way that I'm not interested in copyright. I think I'm very interested in addressing that copy culture today. The only thing that has to do with copyright is that, like, it's being copyright was successful in diminishing all the possibilities of copy culture, and copy culture as a cultural practice in which we can, you know, copy culture as a practice where desires of different people from different parts of the world and all the promises that, you know, economic system give about access to media and all the threats that legal frameworks bring in are in the mix that create actually like a super interesting cultural context. I think copyright has been very successful in flatten out all these nuances and practices that manifest in different ways beyond, you know, the US or like the samples of very famous like hip hop artists and, you know, or these disproportionate attentions that always we give to legal cases, to the Pirate Bay or Napster or that kind of stuff, you know, that it was, while there has been other super like, not interesting enough the word, but like kind of like sad cases about copyright infringement in Latin America, like Horacio Potel, that he was like prosecuted, for instance, for post all the translated works of Derrida and Nietzsche on like a website. So it's been always very, very concentrated in like a certain understanding of property. And this work I did in Downstairs that you can just see, it was inspired by this idea that Ravi Sundaram has about pirate modernity, in which he explains that the thing is piracy doesn't really fit these dialectics of property and wealth we usually have. He said that, like, well, piracy just breaks through and it just, like, you know, decomposes in like many fragments of different things, desires, threats, promises, the way he described it. And all of this creates the obvious consequence of property or copyright, which is it's pirate double. You know, so there is a question of multiplicity that it's like very important that I think also we don't discuss, like, and I think it's very interesting in the context of what Jay said, that it's more about, like, you know, how the text changes every time it is sing. I think one of the things that for me were very interesting about copy culture until, like, let's say, yeah, 10 years ago, was all this multiplicity, you know, that it was a thing to multiply things, was like a cool ideal. And now with the streaming, that possibility is being completely flat out. Other thing, for instance, with all these kind of ideas about the blockchain kind of tracking everything that you do and stuff, I think multiplicity, it's also in like, it's been attacked again by trying to put in a blockchain all these possibilities, you know, so we will be able to go and see who did what and that, but not in a transformative way, but just more in this bureaucratic, you know, accountable, like accounting book way to go back and say, oh, they did that. So I think those are things that copy culture has lost power a lot. You know, I don't think copy culture, I think it was a cool thing. It was like when your mixes were out, you know, when we were like kind of very hopeful about all these multiplicities we were being part of. And now in like just a few years into the 21st century, I think not even pirates are cool anymore. You know, pirates are just these like weird dudes, you know, hacking stuff, you know, super boring pirate parties that has no credibilities. So even the image of the pirate, you know, it's been diminished by copyright. That is like a non-relevant thing for creativity, from my perspective, you know, or like for production. You don't need copyright to produce, no? We need all money, not only artists. You know, we all need money to do the things we want, but also to survive at the everyday level, like, and do what we want. But it's not that only artists need to be especially, you know, I don't think that artists should have special remunerations for certain things. We all need to be paid for what we do, you know, that's like a different kind of approach. So with copyright, it's just this constant, you know, devolution into feudalism, you know, to make this very strong islands of property. And even though that, I guess, copyright has been, I mean, it's not 100 years old since it started, but even if it has just a few centuries that started like trying to protect more things that it needs to, it just feels like a millennia, you know? When I think of copyright, I think like in the Bible or like, you know, that is just this inevitable, super like long property model, because it's so, it's so controlling, so strong, its hold, that it's just against any possibility, you know? So this work was a little bit to map this kind of idea that piracy is like a desire, a threat, or a promise, depending where you stand in the world. So if you are in the US, probably you would see a lot of this RIA and IFP and enforcement and, you know, confiscating of material and kind of stuff. But if you are a little bit more, you know, in the South kind of the world, it would be more about selling pirate copies and selling cool bootlegs and making some money out of it. Even, I mean, I'm not talking about the legal or illegal part, but it's just a promise that through technology and through this kind of material, you can do either distribute your music or either feed your family. And in the top of the installation, I talk more about desires, which is a little bit more my personal desires. It's like relation I have with piracy, it's been mostly about, you know, music I like, friends I have made, things I have learned. And copyright has nothing to do with that, with life, you know, with this media, like with this life aspect of media. So I use this form of the pyramid because that's kind of the image that this idea of Ravi Sundaram creates, but also because, I don't know if you know about Copy Me, but it was just this concept about just copy things. They use as a symbol a pyramid, which is very also godly-like kind of symbol, omnipresent kind of thing. So I wanted just to create like this image of like a symbol that all these threads, all this riff in between, that there might be a dialectical relation between information and commerce, and one between culture and commerce, and one between your personal story and information. When they all get together, they are something else that has nothing to do with copyright, but more with just, I guess, media and life and, you know, yeah, just like living, which music for me embodies all of that. So I guess that's why it's relevant to music. And of course this image or like this format of having the CDs in the floor and stuff, it's just the way CDs are sold, you know, in Mexico and in other places. So, and I really like it that you just really show and you know, offer what you have. So it a little bit is a little bit, it's like a offer, like a symbol about what everyone has to offer depending where they stand in the world, kind of thing. So I guess that's it for now. You can see the installation after the talk.